Second Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, from 3 to 11. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sightedness, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please sit down. Peace and grace to you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Greetings in love of our Lord Jesus Christ to assembly of the saints and beloved children of God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for a chance to share God's words with you today. Taking the opportunity, let me give your regards of the saints of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of St. Petersburg and the whole community in Eurasia. Together we one body of Christ. You know, I have a friend, a missionary. Every time he visits us, we ask him to preach, and when he goes to the pulpit, he begins his sermon with the words. I will try to be short, so as to be invited again. If you invited me again, it means I didn't tire you out last time. Thank you for your mercy. It's a great privilege for me to be here with you, to worship our Lord and to share His word with you. From Easter till Pentecost this year, all churches in our fellowship studied the fruits of the Holy Spirit from Galatians 5:22 and 23. We discussed the nine-sided fruits of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember this fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Today I would like to talk about self-control. I'm sure it's of great importance for all saints. Let's pray. Dear God of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened, so that we will know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, And what is surpassing greatness of your power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of your might, which you brought about in Christ, when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today I would like to base my sermon on 2 Peter 1, verses from 3 to 11. I am sure this passage is a very serious test that helps us understand if we have these fruits of the Spirit, self-control, in our life, and how good we are as Christians and Christ's disciples. So, let's turn to the passage. I'm sorry I used a little bit different translation. New American Standard Bible. Verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by this he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. The Bible says that we have everything necessary and sufficient for life and godliness. This is God's gracious gift. He granted to us what he has, life and goodness, for he is alive and good. Amen. According to Peter, God called us by his own glory and goodness, and by this we have precious promises. The promises of faithful God who always keeps his promise. Therefore, for us as God's children, his word is the greatest treasure. His word, his promises. We read that he granted to us these promises for a certain purpose, so that through them, promises, we may become partakers of the divine nature. What does it mean to be partakers? To be partakers means to have a part or to be a partner of something. The second purpose of God's promises is that by them we may escape the corruption by lust in the world. As John the Apostle says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. I would say that these are three foundations of world ideology. But in fact, these are three sides of one: egocentrism. I am and my. I am God and I decide what is right and what is wrong. It's my life and I set the rules. I have a right to sin just because it's my decision. I have a right to kill baby. I have a right to steal. I have a right to do revolution because I am God. And I decide what is wrong and what is right. This is egocentrism, as John says. I, me, and my. In verses 5 and 7 of our passage, Peter says that because God has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, we must apply all our diligence to show something. God has given everything to all whom He elected and called to be His children. Everything. And for our part, we must apply all diligence and show some qualities. If we have these qualities in our life, we are truly God's children. What should we show or supply as His children and disciples of Christ? Good question. What? What should we show or supply? The answer is in the Bible. All answer is in the Bible. See verse 5. In your faith supply moral excellence. Faith is revealed in good works pleasing to God. Faith without work is dead. The Greek word for moral excellence has one more meaning: high quality. The life of high quality is spiritual maturity when we profess our faith and live by this faith. And it happens when our highest authority is God's word. Let's keep reading. In your moral excellence, supply knowledge. It is about true knowledge or wisdom from above. As we read in James 3:17, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the knowledge of truth and its application in real life. When you know spiritual laws set by God and live in accordance with them, you know and you live. This is wisdom from God. Wisdom from above, as Bible says. In your knowledge, Peter says, supply self-control. Knowledge can make a person arrogant. Therefore, it's necessary to control yourself and use your strength and knowledge only for right things, pleasing to God and good works. One way or another, we always spend our resources either for good or bad. Every day, we spend our resources. Therefore, Peter encourages us to learn self-control, spend ourselves for good, and abstain from doing bad things. We need to remember the word of Ecclesiastes, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. In self-control, we must show perseverance or patience. Do you know why it's important? Because impatience results in haste. Haste leads to wrong decisions. And wrong decisions mean we spend ourselves for bad. I often meet people who can control themselves, but they have bitter heart or even psychosis. Our God sees the heart. Therefore, it is very important to have patience and peace in your heart, not just outward behavior. Because God sees the heart. He knows what happened in our hearts. In your perseverance, supply godliness. What is godliness? Godliness is good conscience or good name. It is very important to have good name. As we read in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. And James said, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Very important to have good name. Good name is godliness. In verses 7 we read, in your godliness, brotherly kindness. How do you understand brotherly kindness? I think it is an expression of your love to God and to your neighbor. As Paul the Apostle says in Romans, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. It is very, very important to understand that it is my responsibility to be devoted to you in brotherly love. My responsibility. I have responsibility to be devoted to you in brotherly love. It is my responsibility to give preference to you in honor. If you don't love me, it is not my problem. But if I don't love you, this is my problem. Because God says that I have responsibility to give preference to brother and sister in honor. If I have know it, I have to learn how to give preference to brother and sister in honor. In your brotherly kindness, supply love. What kind of love should we show? Love is not just emotion or some state of mind. It's always an action and sacrifice for the sake of the one you love. Jesus set an example of such love. For his life was true love in action. Greek word agape or agape. True love in action. If we want to understand what it means to live in love, we should focus on the life of Jesus Christ. For us, there is no better example to follow. Jesus Christ is the best example of true love of God. Agape, agape. Do you remember the story of Good Samaritan from Luke 10? Who remembers this story? Everybody. I'm sure that everybody remembers this story. Everything that Samaritan did for the person found in difficult situation was the result of his love towards him. He spent his resources on good for this man. Because true love is always sacrificial. Interesting that Samaritan spent his resources to help other people, other men. This is true love. Turning back to our passage from 2 Peter, We see that author offers to test ourselves if we can show any of these qualities. Do you like tests? I like, sometimes no. It depends from test. Here I see the parallel between this test and the parable on gifts from Luke 19. A nobleman went to a distant country and gave his servants 10 minas. Upon return, he called them to hear their reports. Two servants increased the gift they received, but one servant keep it as it is, but didn't increase. He wasted his talent. And here Peter says that we have already received a wonderful gift from God and his promises. So, what do we do with that? Question. We received from God. What do we do with that? Let's read verse 8. For if these qualities you are yours and are increasing, then they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's clear that we must increase the gift we received. Then we will have the fruit of the fruit that will glorify God. What kind of fruit is he talking about? When we follow the example of Jesus Christ, we reveal his character in our life. This is the nine-sided fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians 5. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. If we don't have such a fruit in our life, it's bad news. Very bad news. For it means we live under sin. Peter talks about blindness and short-sightedness. Because sin makes a person blind and distorts the truth. Such person forgets his purification from his former sins and returns to them. I often hear people say, maybe you too, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, my heart is overwhelmed with my love towards him. I love Jesus very much. But for all that, they keep living by the rule I, me, and mine, and stay under the power of passions and lusts. Let's remember Psalms 50. But to the weak, God says, what right have you to tell of my status and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline, and you cast my word behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this. You who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces, and there will be done none to deliver. Very serious words. We need to remember. Therefore, as Peter continues in verses 10, Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Do your best. Make all efforts to make certain your calling and election. If God granted us something, and he did grant it, amen? Then we must increase it and make certain. God wants to us to be his disciple in practice, not in theory. Because if we do it, do things pleasing to God, fulfill his will, not ours, then something happens. First, we will never stumble because we will walk in the light. It is much easier to walk during the day because you can see where you go. At night, you either see nothing or see things not in their true value. Second, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to us. It's good news. The gates into the kingdom will be open, wide open, because our life will testify that we are worthy citizens of the heavenly kingdom that is inside us. What is hidden inside us becomes evident through our bodies and acts. Now I would like to focus on a little bit on self-control or temperance. The word used in some Bible versions. The Greek word ekrateia, used in 2 Peter 1, means mastery of a person to control his desires and passions and tame his emotional appetite. It's typically of a mature person to understand right and wrong. He spends himself on the good and abstains from evil. He judges right and wrong by one standard, God's word. This is right because God says that this is right. This is wrong because God says that is wrong. I believe, I trust God. So I understand what is right and what is wrong because God says me, this is right and this is wrong. In the book of Acts 15, verses 19, 20, and 28, 29, we read that the church from the very beginning determined what is good for those who turn to God from among the Gentiles, according to the will of God. As we read, for it seems God to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. If you keep yourselves free from such things, you will do well. From the beginning, church said it. We read about self-control in 1 Corinthians 9, 2, where Paul used the example of a sportsman. Paul says, everyone who competes in the game exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. We know the sportsman exercises self-control in all things and abstains from everything that may prevent him from reaching his goal. He works out for a perishable wreath. Paul also abstained from everything to be a worthy preacher of Jesus Christ and his representative before people. He disciplines his body and makes it his slave. In 1 Thessalonians we read also, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who don't know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification." As we see, God wants us to be holy and separate from the worldly for glorious deeds of God. He called us and made us his people, a royal priesthood, for us to be like his Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, each of us must possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like people who live under the power of sin, that is their egocentrism. Now, let us study one example to understand how self-control helps us to be more like Christ. In Matthew 5 we read, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Here, Jesus talks about people who are not just anointing, but they are real enemies. The first reaction of our sinful nature towards these people is an equal answer. That is hatred. If it is your enemy, kill him. Hatred is a passion, very strong energy. But if we do so, we let evil win. Moreover, it doubles. Evil comes to you, infects you, or makes you sick, and goes out from you. Isn't the way to increase evil? But if we face evil and control ourselves and our emotions, and answer with good, then we beat evil with good. This is the victory of good over evil, light over darkness, and love over hatred. It is not always pleasant for us to greet those who don't care a straw about us. We want to retaliate against them. On the contrary, we are kind to those who are kind to us. But there is nothing special in such a behavior. Even the tax collectors do the same, Jesus says. And Jesus says, be your Father's son. Be as perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Do you know how to be perfect? If you don't know, let me give you some practical advice on how to be perfect. Practice, practice, and practice to become expert in the Word of God. Study the Word of God fervently to know God's will, and then be eager to put in practice what you learned. Learn and do. Learn and do. Practice. And you will be perfect. I promise you, you will be perfect. Be honest with yourself and with God. It is very important to be honest with you and with God. If passion conquer, ask God to teach you how to control them. He is our Father and He knows exactly how to help His children. Be honest. Be sure every situation in life is set and controlled by God. Every situation. Even your hair loss and graying is under His control. He knows how much hairs are in your, what's his name, Rashoska? Prom brush, yeah. He knows. Try to accept any situation as a possibility to learn something new from God. Every situation. Never ask Him why it happened, but ask what for it happened. What for? Start from the little. Say no when you want to do something that is your will but not God's. He who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. Learn to overcome yourself when your will contradicts the will of God. Don't lose heart when it didn't work from the first. You lost the battle, but you will win the war because God has already granted to you everything you need for it. Trust Him with all your heart, and you will win. God help us and make us strong in our faith, hope, and true love to you and our neighbors. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please bless our prayer and help each of us come before you with open hearts. Please teach us to pray. Make us strong in our faith. Give us a flaming love towards you. Sanctify our thoughts, feelings, and works. Teach us to see your holy will in every situation and give us strength to fulfill your will. Lock our lips for evil and empty words and keep our hand from bad work. In case of trouble, make us strong to accept it peacefully and bear it as a sacrifice for you. Make us a source of good for all people we meet today. Accept our prayer for those who don't know you and deliver them from their disbelief. I thank you, Lord, for the divine breath of life, for our souls, and for everything around us, for those who are near and who are far away, for heaven and earth, But above all, I thank you for your life-giving love. Help us remember and thank you all day. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Thank you.